men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Come on, put your hands together for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Can you walk up to at least 5 persons and tell them God has been good to me? God has been... tell 5 persons how great he has been. How great he has been. Tell him how great he has been. How great he has been. He has been so faithful. Has the Lord been faithful to you? Can we rejoice? I said rejoice. Rejoice! Amen. Amen. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. Hallelujah. My God has been good. He has been so good. And yet we will see his goodness. Yet we will see his benevolence. Yet we will see his loving kindness. Come on, give the Lord praise. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to welcome you to Koinonia service tonight. It's good to have you in service. Glory to God. Can you tell your neighbor it's good to be seated by you? It's good to be around you tonight. Are you sure? Tell your neighbor. Smile to your neighbor. Smile. Smile. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I want to appreciate every one of us that have taken time to be in service tonight. Those that are here on site and also those that are following online. Glory to God. It's such a great time to have you in service. Amen. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And also to appreciate every one of you that have been following the series. Free indeed. How many of you have been blessed so far by the series? Has it blessed you? How many of you have listened to the message more than once? You have listened to the message more than once. Hallelujah. Let me see your hands. You have listened to the message more than once. Let me see your hands. Glory to God. I want to cancel, like I told you last time. You see, if you are a believer and you are born again and you want to enjoy the fullness of your inheritance in Christ, I encourage you to get the series. You can even use it as gift to your friends. Download it and share it with friends. You see, those things that I've been sharing with us, those are truths that took me years to come into that reality. We were brought up in religion. Glory to God. We were brought up in religion and we were told a lot of things that were not so true then. And then the light came and today we are free. Say, I am free. I'm free from legalism. There's something called legalism. Now, if you'll be around in service on Sunday during KCC, I'll be showing you the difference between kingdom life and religion. You see, one of the pains of religion is that it is legalistic. Now, let me tell you what makes it legalistic. 2 things. Number one, you always get the punishment you deserve. That's one thing about the legal side of religion. Whatever you deserve, the punishment is what you get. If you do wrong, you are punished for it. And then number two, the second part of legalism is that you don't get what you are not qualified for. That is to say, you have to work for what you get. Glory to God. Are you with me? You have to work for it. You have to labor. You have to work for it. You have to labor for it. Glory to God. But everybody say in Christ. Can we rejoice? Everybody says free. I thought you would rejoice. I mean, it's free. It's free. I mean, free means free. Tell anybody it's free. It's free. I mean, it's free. I don't know how you receive it. It's free. I mean, under the law, before God can bless you, you must keep the law that connects to that blessing. Are you getting it now? Under the law, if you're going to get something from God, there are, we call them regulations. What's the board, please? We call them ordinances. Regulations. Regulations. And ordinances. What they mean is this. These are the things you must do to get these things. Is that okay? But Jesus gave it to us free. Can we rejoice? Everybody say free. I mean free. Tell your neighbor free. Free. Tell your neighbor free. Isn't it glad to know that now we can have the things that God has? We can access the things that God owns just by using in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Are you excited about that? Somebody rejoice. Now, if I were you, I would pick my Bible and I would run around the church. You need some people to understand. I mean, rejoice. Amen. Yes, Eva is getting it. I will run around. I mean, what was supposed to cost you? Somebody valued it and paid the cost and gave you the goods. Rejoice! Glory to God! I mean, he gave it to you. Free. Say free. Say free. Free. Now, see that. In those days, for you to get healing, for you to get healing, there are a lot of things you must do. I mean, there was a time you have to pay for healing. You have to make sacrifices. But now, he said, these signs shall follow them. You will not only be healed, you also heal the sick. I mean, you will heal the sick. I mean, you will heal the sick. Free. If you want to treat some sicknesses, in fact, if you go to the hospital now, at times if they rush you to the hospital, let's say on emergency, and they resuscitate you, and then they can just give you some drips and then tell you to pay 20,000 naira. But in Christ, somebody can be rushed to you and you will lay hands on the person. And then under God, 20,000 has been saved. Rejoice! Glory to God! Free! Free! So, the only price we pay is the price of knowledge. It's understanding. And it's cheap. It's not really expensive. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "And I will give you rest." Now, how am I going to do it? Verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." Glory to God. So that's the cost is the cost of knowledge. And the good thing about it is that even that knowledge is given freely. It's free. Just ask. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18, he said, from the day I heard of you, I've not stopped praying and asking God to give you, verse 17. He said, asking God to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. Glory to God. So now this is what it means. It means if understanding does not come, you might pay for it ignorantly. I get what I'm saying. There was a day I needed to eat and I went somewhere to eat. And then I got what I wanted to eat. And while I was to pay, the woman looked at me and said, that guy has paid for you. And I looked at the person and said, I've paid for you, sir. I was like, you've paid? I was like, oh, good. Now, the truth is this. Let's assume that the woman is not a sincere person and the guy left. Let's say just, I'm worried, so please, ma, whatever he buys, please, I'll pay you. And he left. Do you know that if I don't know and that woman lacks integrity, she will collect the money? Now, that's what the devil is doing to a number of believers. Now, two things. Number one, Jesus made the payment while you were not there. So when he paid for your freedom, you were not there when he paid for it. It's possible you were wallowing in sin, you were in ignorance. According to Ephesians chapter 2, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, glory to God. Are we together? We were not there. I was not there. I didn't know. And I wouldn't have known if not the pages of scriptures. Look at what he said. He said, Ephesians 2 verse 1. Let's check it out. Let's see our former condition. He said, once we were what? You were dead. I've thought about this. That's why I said, go get the series. Because of your disobedience and your many what? Sins. He said, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. And then verse 3. He said, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Now look at verse 4. The all-important but. You remember I said it. Somebody rejoice. But you see what he said? Everybody say, but. Scream it, say but. Scream it, say but. God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much. What did he now do? That even though we were dead because of his sins, what did he do? He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by the grace of God that you have been what? May you be saved. It's not of your works. Look at the next thing. He said, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in what? In the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. See the next verse. He says, so God can point to us in all future ages as example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. Now wait, check that. What's so powerful in this verse? Everybody say, example of this, of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. Now please look up, everybody. We have English student here. Now, incredible wealth is qualifying the quantity of his grace and what? And kindness. So what is grace? Give it to us in Amplified. Grace means unmerited favor. Glory to God. Are you seeing that? So it's free. You see that? He said, his unmerited favor, grace, in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. So this is what it means. Towards us in Christ Jesus. I want to explain something. We're going to be asking questions. I want to ask, especially those of us that have been learning since the series began. Is that okay? So please bring out your notes. We're going to be having some interaction. But I want to explain something quickly. Can we get one of the communion cups and a bigger bowl? You see, the difference between kingdom life and religion, and that's why some of you, if you don't have this understanding, you will go and bath in one water. You go and use blue candle, green candle, and pink candle. Listen to me very well. Are you with me? Gomi dada. Am I correct? Eh? I'm wrong. Oh, yeah, correct me now. Gomi dada. Uh-huh. Gomi dada. Eh? What does it mean? Hear me well. Desperate people do desperate things. I remember when we just got married. I've shared this story several times. You see, most of the things I teach, most people don't understand that these things are coming from convictions. Everybody say convictions. I suffer. Are you following me? I have suffered. And it so pained me that I was suffering for what Jesus had already paid for. Ah! Satan is just too smart. He's not powerful, he's just too smart. And it is because of your ignorance. Why? When God paid for these things, or when God did these things, you were not there. So he's now using two people. Number one, false teachers. And then number two, your laziness to hide them from you. So after the first miscarriage, a pastor came and said, quoted a lot of scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy and Jeremiah and Isaiah. Those parts of the Bible that carries the anger of God. And he said that the reason why we were having those, losing those babies, was that my wife always puts on bum shorts and trouser. Yes. He says, so when the, praise God. So when she takes in that, if she doesn't wear the bum shorts or the trouser, the baby will stay. But anytime she wears it, that the demon that takes the baby comes through the bum shorts and the trouser. I'm not lying. So when we are teaching some of these things, you should know where we are teaching it from. Now let me tell you something. You are laughing, but let me tell you this. Now, number one, we don't have a child. So you should know the state we wear. I get what I'm saying. We don't have a child. Number two, the child was actually taken. So miscarriage was. So now it's very easy. It doesn't cost anything to stop putting on the bum shorts. I mean, I've seen some people who they were told that the demon that is doing them is on the wig they carry, and they burnt all the wigs. I mean, we've seen that happen. So the easiest thing to have done that time would have been to pack all the bum shorts and burn them. And let me be sincere with you, we might still burn them and she'll take in and the baby will stay. No, see, sometimes when we are talking about things people do, please, sometimes don't blame people. Desperate people do desperate things. I mean, I've seen people pay money for healing before. They take them to a prophet, and the prophet tells them that before you get your healing, you have to pay $200,000. I know of somebody that paid $230,000. The woman was having kidney issue. And they were doing a lot of things, and so they took the woman somewhere. And the prophet told them that for them to, for the woman to be healed, that they have to make a deposit of 230,000 naira. I mean, around that time, we've been praying, we've been relying on prayers. But just that sometimes prayers can look slow in our eyes. So out of the just, and they went. And the moment the person told me, I told her, I said, you people have killed your mother. And not until a week later, the woman died. Because majority of the time, out of desperation, we bypass the freedom we have in Christ. And we want to just do something. So that later, we'll not say it's what we did that brought about the miracles. So we could have done that and then maybe. But I told my eyes, see, if you burn your trousers and your boncho, you do that at your own peril. Because around that time, I was already praying. I read the book by Kenneth E. Again, Believer's Authority. And he said he prayed the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 19 prayer for 3 months. For 3 months. Go and pray it for 3 months. I'm talking, you've not written it. I write it down, go and pray it. Ephesians chapter 1, 16 to 19. Pray that prayer. Just be praying. You'll see, you will not tolerate lies in your life. You can't tolerate it. You know, we are ministers. People don't do things for this life. I remember then we had a program in LTech, and after the meeting, somebody came to me and told me that while she was growing up, she usually have certain attacks. I mean, she would read, she would not understand, and a lot of things were happening in her life. So out of desperation, they took her to a prophet, and the prophet told the parents that she has to bathe in a river for 7 days. He said she was sleeping in that place, wake up in the night to go and bathe naked, because the priest said he must bathe in the water and come out naked. He said she did that for 7 days. I didn't wait for her to finish. I told her, I said, when you bathed after the 7th day, that issue became worse. He said, Pastor, as if you know, it will be worse. You don't solve a problem at the level where it's created. I don't need to. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not in scriptures. Are you with me? It's not in scriptures. Whatever the name of Jesus cannot do, let it remain undone. Stop looking for the free way. Sometimes the free way is entering into bondage. I told her, I said, you see now, she was looking all messed up and life became worse. And then to the glory of God, we administered the Ephesians 1:16 prayers to her. We said, go and pray this prayer. And then when you pray this prayer, your eyes will become what? Open. And you will know what to do. Prayed for her, delivered her, laid hands on her, and her life took a new what? A new turn. Without stress. So you must know this, that without understanding, you will cheat it. So the pastor said that. So that was the first one. And then, I like I told you, the understanding was coming. So I told her, I said, we are not doing anything. Now, why did I tell her we are not doing anything? Two scriptures came to light in my life. Now, let's check the first one. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 11 and 12. He said, no one know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. Now, see the next verse. He said, and we, now take note of that word. He said, and we have received God's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has what? Freely. So the key word here is God has freely what? Amen. Glory to God. It's a pen. Who here needs this pen? You need this pen. Miss, you needs the pen. Needs it. I'm not convinced that you need it. Okay, come. He has convinced me more that he needs it. So yeah, come. You need this pen? You sure you need it? Okay, take it. It's yours. Okay, God bless you. Amen. Now, what does it cost him to get that pen? Huh? Ebo say need. He didn't even ask. I asked. Now, the truth is this. Look up. I asked because I have it. God saved you because he's rich in kindness. So if he saved you freely, every other thing, he can give them to you freely. That was the understanding that came. It just came. So I was angry. You are telling me, I asked three questions. I was listening to a preacher at that time called Joseph Prince. I was teaching on the finished work of Christ. He did a very wonderful illustration. He said, maybe I should try and do that illustration. Maybe I'll try and do it. Okay, come. Who else? Okay, this is Jesus Christ. So who will be pregnant now? Okay, Precious, come. Come and be pregnant. Yeah, come. So I told you that two scriptures came to light. Is that okay? Now, this is the first one. Wonderful things God has what? Freely giving to us. Who will be God now? Okay, Ma? No, God is big. Yeah, come. Bring that back. Uh-huh. Stay center. No, come. You come here. Yeah, come center. Yeah, you be God now. Carry all the things where you get. You get many. Carry away. You get many things. Okay. Things did this back. Things. Wonderful things. Glory to God. Now, let me explain something very quickly to you. Now, look up, everybody. Now, this is God and the things he has. This is Christ. Are you following me? Now, this is the woman that needs, maybe me that needs a child. Is that okay? Now, at salvation or before salvation, what God did, God had two things. He had plenty of things, but had only a child. Are you following me now? He had plenty of things. But when it comes to child, he only has one. So to prove his love towards her, what God did was that he now gave her his only child, killed the child, for her. Now, he only has one child, but he has plenty things. So, he didn't give you plenty things. To prove the love he has for you, he now gave his only child without you even asking. Now, he has given you his only child. But right now, you need a child. And among the things he has is children to give, houses to give, jobs to give, healings to give. He has plenty of them. But now he gave his only child. Now you need a child from him. Which one is harder to give? Huh? Which one is harder to give? Which one is harder to give? Which one is harder to give? Has he given his child? So now think about the other things. Give us Romans 8 verse 32. That's the second scripture that came to my understanding. That if without you asking, he gave his child, is it all these things? So Satan is trying to tell you, because you don't have these things, God hates you. It's a lie. Say it's a lie. Says a lie. Because if he had given you other things and this surrender his child, you say God is selfish. But it the reverse became the case. The only thing he had, he never had a spare. He released it from you for you. Is he child he will not give you? Is he admission he will not give you? Is he healing he will not give you? He's there. He says, since he did not spare even, look at the word, even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also? Are you here? So those are the two scriptures that came to light. And the moment they came to light, everybody said, understanding came. I told all the pastors around me. Because when the first one happened, they said it was bomb shot. So when the second one happened, they said it was tight. That we are not paying tight. My wife cried on. That he said, it's because she doesn't pay tight. Now the reason why it pained her a lot was among that in that church. At that time, I think among the top three tithers, she was number one. And so, you know, lies is not the art to know. So I told all the pastors around me that time. I said, I want to prove if God's word is what? True. Are you following me? Number one is that I will not do any of the things that people do to get children. Number two, I will not pay tithes. But I will hold on to this scripture. Except God, this bias is not in the Bible. Praise God. Everybody say understanding. I told the pastor. I told him. I said, except this verse. Are you not seeing the verse? I read 1 Corinthians. I did English. Even though I didn't get A in English. But I know what English means. When the Bible says freely given, it means void of any condition. It's free. Come and take it. So I prayed and I said, God, if it is your word, let it be like that. Except it's not in scriptures. Next month, I'll be teaching you the authority of scriptures. A number of us are emotional when it comes to scriptures. That's why our life is the way it is. We cannot hold God to his word. That's our biggest challenge. I mean, I've seen Christians gone to meet Abalis before. They've come. They will tell you. One came and said, I'm desperate. A minister told me, was an elder in church. He said, right now, I need clarity in my life that even if it means go and see an alpha, I will pay the alpha. What does the word of God say? Jeremiah 3, verse 3, he said, call on me and I will show you things you don't know. The reason why Christians look for the other path that puts them in bondage is because they cannot hold on to the word of God. So I tested God with this verse of scriptures. That's why till tomorrow, till Jesus will come, except it's not written in Bible. You can't deceive me out of scriptures. The scripture is the authority in my life. I get what I'm saying. It's the authority in my life. Except I didn't read it in scriptures. But if I read it in scriptures, I will hold on to it till Jesus comes. I would rather die with that word than look for extra road to pass. And the rest, they say, is what? Is history. The babies came. They came. Nothing. Someone called me when the triplets were born. I posted it on Facebook. Said, how did you people do it? Till tomorrow, till Jesus will come. I can't do a seminar on how to give birth to triplets. I don't know. I'm sincere. I don't know. I get what I'm saying. But what I know is that things are freely given. Tell anybody there are things. They are available. Are you with me? They are available. Be there and be forming religion. The elder brother was there when the younger one came and said, Father, give me my inheritance. He carried it, went away, squandered it, came back. The father still gave him more. Are you here? Do you know the God you are serving? Do you know what grace can do in your life? Grace is powerful. Everybody say freely giving. So what is it that you want? Free. So anything is there. This one is the costliest thing. You see, one thing I like about God. God will never give man what will not cost him anything. He gave us the costliest. I mean, do you know what scripture said? He could have lost Jesus. I mean, imagine when Jesus was to go to Calvary, I say, I'm not going again. He would have lost him. But let me tell you something about God. When it comes to the scandal of grace, I call it the scandal of grace. When it comes to the scandal of grace, God is not careful to lose anything as far as it will make him gain man. As far as it will make him gain everyone in this world. As far as it will make him gain sinners. Tell your neighbor, God is not afraid to lose anything. As long as it will bring gain to his agenda. So he gave up Jesus for you. Ever say, give up Jesus for you. For me. I like the way Reverend used to put it. He said, if I was the only one on earth, Jesus would still have died. Personalizes. He gave up Jesus for me. You know, some of you think that God died for the good people. Give us Romans 5. He didn't die for the good people. He died for us while we were still sinners. So what do you want? As it is, so you want picking. What do you want? Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh yeah, ask God. Oh yeah, go and rest. Go and sit down at the right hand of the Father. He says she wants wisdom. No, go and sit down. Go and sit down. Oh yeah, just give her everything. But funny enough, that's the credibility of God. Everything in God is in wisdom and understanding. It is the pass key to anything that God has. Listen to this. If God wants to take you far in life, there is only one thing he just needs to give you: wisdom and understanding. With that, you can unlock all the treasures. Everybody say, all the treasures hidden in God. Let me tell you the truth. With wisdom, nothing is hidden anymore. Tell your neighbor, with wisdom, with understanding, nothing is hidden anymore. So when a preacher comes and tells you some things are hidden, you need to do some things to unlock them. You need to listen to this. Everybody say, the unlocking password is wisdom and understanding. Celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Both the one that need wisdom and the God that gives wisdom. Go and see that. Are you collecting it back? Celebrate God for them. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that okay? Free. Everybody say free. Now the reason why they are free was because Christ was the bargain. Was the exchange for it. So I told you last time that these things are legal. Amen. So today we want to look at some of the reasons. So I'm going to be asking you and you're going to be answering me. Pathway to full freedom. I think this is part 4. The purpose and benefit of full freedom. Why God went through all the process of setting us free. Why God went through all the process of setting us free. For those of you that are just attending this series, please, I will still admonish you to get the part 1 to 3. We established that to be free means to be able to act as you wish. Number 2, to be free means to not be confined. And then to be free means not to be in slavery, not to be in bondage. Amen. And also we went further to establish that the source of these bondage, the sources were 3. We established that the number 1 source of bondage is Adam's disobedience. Trace whatever man is struggling with today to the disobedience of Adam. Number 1. Then number 2 is what? The world that man was living in. And the reason was because, according to that Ephesians, if you read that Ephesians 2, I think verse 2 and 3, was because Satan became the prince, the god of this world. So Satan, as a man, gave control to the devil. Glory to God. Is that okay? Look at it. Like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Is that okay? So Satan made man disobey God so that man can what? Obey him. Is that okay? So that's the second source of our bondage. So that brought us under captivity. And then the third one is what? The consequences of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28. You know, up till Exodus, man was living based on conscience. But along the line, God had to put some laws in place and made it so clear that if man went against any of those laws, he was going to be under a curse. So those were the causes of our bondage. So now the question we are now asking this evening is that why did God have to set us free from all of these three? How many of you know we have been free from all three? I established that last Sunday. Tell your neighbor, go and get the series. Go and get the series. Amen. So I established how God set us free. How he dealt with the disobedience of who? Of Adam. How did he deal with the disobedience of Adam? Romans chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. Glory to God. I'm getting you ready for SRS. So, amen. So, how did God set us free from the disobedience of Adam? Simple. He offered the sacrifices, which was his son, and the obedience of his son squashed the anger that came as the result of the disobedience of who? Of Adam. Number two, how did he set us free from the world? Wait, let me ask. How did he set us free from the world? If you know it, raise your hand. If you know how God set us free from the world, raise your hand. Raise it where? How did God set us free from the world? Precious. You don't know it. How did God set us free from the world? Covenant of faith in Christ. No. How did God set us free from the world? Praise. By giving us his spirit. Please put your hands together for her. You see, I want to counsel you. If you're part of this church and a teaching is going on, even if you are not in service, get it. Get the series. These things are not for me to show how much debt I have. They are to help you. Glory to God. They are to help you. Like I told you, so that one day you will not use salt to baffle. You see the way I'm saying it? So that one day you will not use salt to bath. Because by the time the matter kwogi there, they will tell you that your mom is a witch. Hello? They will tell you if they've not even told you. They will lie to you. And you must understand that what Satan uses. Okay, let me explain something quickly. Now, the truth is this, we have been free. Raise your head, everybody. Say we are free. If you are born again, sir, you are what? You are free. Say, I am free. Now look up. God knows you are free. Satan and all his demons, they know you are what? You are free. They know. But the only problem is that you don't what? Know. And what you don't know is always going to be greater and bigger than you. So that's why the Bible calls him the deceiver. So he will just come. You are free. But right now, one of the things, you know, there was the son and there were the things. So in Christ, God gave us his son. But he didn't give us the things. So it's our understanding that will bring those things to us freely. Do you understand now? So let me give you an example of some of the things. For example, admission. You are a believer. You're born again, you pray in the Holy Ghost, but right now you've written jam 3, 4, 5 times, no admission. So, out of desperation, you begin to look for solution. So, you now go and meet a pastor or a prophet, and the prophet will look you, and scan you. You are a man, Abby. You are a man. Do I know you before? I don't know you before. What's your name? Your name is a man name, Abby. You have a name, Abby. And then, now the truth is this. Some of the things they see are true. Because there are portals in the realm of spirits where information passes. I've not been there, but I know people have been there. There are some priests, prophets, and afars that you can go to. They will tell you the things that happened when you were born. And you will call your mom to confirm, and your mom will tell you it's true. Now, do you know how they know? Let me tell you how they know. Satan is the prince of the power in the air. So there are portals. Is that okay? So he has access to things. But he does not use them for your benefit. He uses them for your what? For your bondage. That's why when people go and meet some of these priests, they will tell you the problem. But when it's not time to provide the solution, they will tell you to go and buy one candle, to go and do one strange things. Have you not observed it? Now, why are they telling you to do those strange things? They know very well that you have been free and your freedom is in Christ. Satan cannot tell you to go to Christ to get freedom. So what he will do is to do what will keep you in more bondage. So that's why. But if you are going to come to God for the freedom, if you come and meet me, I will not tell you to bath. I will not tell you to use candle. I will give you Ephesians 1:16 to go and pray. He's going to go and pray it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because like Paul said, some of these fake preachers and some of these alphas, they do these things as source of their living. They collect your money. That's why they are doing it. Then some others are doing it to promote the activities of what? Satan. They are gateways to the powers of darkness. They are gateways. They are the one proliferating the earth with people born who are going to be causing nuisance against the kingdom of God. So they are working for their grandmaster, the devil. Who are they working for? The devil. So if you come for a child, they will give you a child, but that child will be the source of your problem. But that's it. And Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from who? From God. Is that okay? So there are genuine prophets and there are lying prophets. And then there are false prophets. Is that okay? There are genuine prophets, there are lying prophets, there are false prophets. Is that okay? Now they are not false prophets because their prophecies don't come to pass. They are false prophets because their prophecies put you in more bondage. So what is the path to full freedom? Everybody say understanding. So that's why when you go and meet a true prophet, one of the things he will tell you is to have a relationship with God. He'll teach you scriptures. In fact, if you come and meet me for some problems, solution most times, I've realized that every solution is given by knowledge. So sometimes I will just give you a prayer point to go and pray. And as you are praying the prayer point, God will be showing you some things. Is that okay? So sometimes God can show you that maybe there's someone you offended. You need to go and tell the person sorry. Now, why must I tell the person sorry? Because it gives the devil hold. Is that okay? So just go and apologize and then it's done. So you must understand that our freedom is void of any of our human wins and efforts. So we have been set free. But if you don't have understanding, you will go do the wrong things. And those things will put you in more bondage. Because the goal of God for your life is for you to live for Him to the fullest. Write it down. For you to live for Him to the fullest. So I've established all of those things. How He set us free in Christ. So Christ had to become the offering for our sins, and then the anger of God was taken away. So how did God save us from this world? He gave us His what? His Spirit. So now His Spirit will now help you to cultivate and develop godly character, which is love. Glory to God. So, and let me tell you this. There are two wars that are going on right now. There is only one law that when you break, the enemy will cause damage in your life. Is the law of love. Anytime you go against the law of love, you give the enemy chance to afflict your life, because the weapons we are using to fight the devil now is the weapon of spiritual knowledge, and the height of spiritual knowledge is what? Love. Glory to God. So good. Let's check some of those things now. So I established that how we are free from the world. Then the third one, how were we free from the law, the consequences of the law? Wait, don't echo it. How did God free us from the consequences of the law? Who's going to give us the answer? Let me see your hand. How come I'm just seeing few hands? How did God set us free from the consequences of the law? Regina, how? By giving us, and all of them are Jesus he gave now. How? Okay. Through the death and resurrection of the son, of his son, Jesus. How? How? The how. All of these, all of the provisions for our freedom came as a result of the earthly life of Jesus, the suffering, the death, the burial, the resurrection. That's established. We call it the finished work of Christ. But we are not talking about the specific actions that we are in place. Let's take, for example, now, if somebody is suffering from, let's say, typhoid. Are you getting me? You will not give the person paracetamol. Even though there might be paracetamol, but paracetamol will not take care of the typhoid. Is that okay? Good. So, if somebody is suffering from, let's say, broken ribs, this part of the leg, broken knee. Are you following me now? You will not give the person Atifed, or you will not give the person Procode. Am I correct? So, but you will give the person drug. So when you say, okay, what did God do for our freedom? He gave us Jesus Christ. Now you are saying, give the person drug. But when we are now saying, what did God do to set us free from the anger, from the disobedience of Adam? What did he do? You said, the death of Christ. Are you following that? The death of Christ. Is that okay? Is that okay? Not the life of Christ. The what? So it was the death that took the anger away. Remember? Eli, Eli, Eli. Shaba, Laba, Laba. During Easter, we did that. Oh yeah, let's do it. Let me try. Who will I start from? Oh yeah. Eli, Eli, Eli.
Eli, 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 Laba Sabatani.
Eli, Eli, Eli.
I don't know it.
Oh yeah, let's try. Say something.
I don't know about that.
Oh yeah.
Try, try.
Eli Lama Sabata.
I was just enjoying myself during Easter. Timo, you want to help us? Oh yeah, let's try. Eli, Eli, Eli.
Lama Sabatani.
You try, you try. Clap for him. You try, you try. It's Timothy in it. So, he said, why have you what? Forsaken me. So, on the cross, God forsook who? Jesus, because he was looking at us. Glory to God. So, the moment Jesus died, the anger left. So that was how he set us free from the disobedience of Adam. What did the disobedience of Adam do? The disobedience of Adam brought anger to God's heart. So, but the obedience of Christ brought peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Glory to God. So, the third one, how did God set us free from the consequences of the law?
Faith in Christ. True faith in Christ.
True faith in Christ. Let's put hands together for him. So who wants to make it more the way I said it? Okay, Helen, tell us. The covenant of faith in Christ. Put your hands together for her. So let's check that in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's start reading from verse 8. These are legal. So we are set free from the law whenever we put our faith in Christ. So anytime you can't put your faith in Christ and in the law. Do you get that? That's what he's trying to say. Raise your hand. Let me tell you what I'm saying. If you need something from God, stop focusing on what you can do for God. Focus on what God have done in Christ. Are you getting that? That's the how the covenant of faith in Christ work. Are you getting it? How does the covenant of faith in Christ work? This is how it works. If you need something from God, don't go to God based on your merits. Don't go to God and say, God, I fast 3 times in a week. I pay my tithe. I sweep the church. Now, God, you must do this for me. No, don't do that. Some of you were taught to do that. It's wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tell neighbor, it's wrong. Don't do that. If you do that, it means you are putting your faith in your own works. It's just like when we finish NYC, some of us for close to 2 years, no job. In fact, I remember that time when we were serving. We'll go to Rocket, we'll spend all our money, do many things in NYC then. So in fact, when they were praying, doing POP for us, we were so excited. We have paid our dues. We are going into the favor market. Favor everywhere. 6 months, no job. God, remember those days of Rora Rugged. 12 months, no job. God, God, where are you? Remember those days we were praying inside bush. Listen, if God does not show you mercy, 5 years go past, you will still be remembering bush. How do I know? I'll give you 2 examples in scriptures. Number one, the woman with the issue of blood. How many church the woman sweep before the hemorrhage dry? How many? Answer now. They were Gentiles, though. I've come again, Abby. No, this is, you see, that's why I told you I reacted against a lot of things that period in my life. Because I realized that all this while, perhaps I've been either listening to the wrong messages or the pastors that were preaching to me were deceiving me. Because I sat down, when I read that verse of scriptures, like I told you, I was listening to Joseph Prince. He said a lot of things. So I went to check in scriptures. One of the things I took note of in scriptures, that all the people that Jesus did miracles for, none of them had basis for those miracles. Yet they got the miracles. Now me that is a born again, carrying the Holy Ghost, you are not telling me to do things to get miracle. That means something is wrong somewhere. Because all they did to get their miracles was to say, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. That is the covenant of faith in Christ. So the woman with the issue of blood, you know the story. I mean, people were crowding Jesus. And then she felt unworthy. But she said something. If only I can touch the hem of his garment. What do we call that in the Bible? Faith. 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 And then what happened to her? She went and she what? She touched and she was healed. Now when Jesus knew that virtue had left him and asked, who touched me? Even the disciples, they were wondering, what do you mean? People there. He said, no, this one is not just an ordinary kind of touch. The woman came trembling. Guess what Jesus said? Jesus did not say, your sweeping church have made you whole. Jesus did not say the tithe you paid 10 years ago has made you whole. Jesus said your faith, meaning that you got your healing. I was not the one that gave you. You didn't get what I said. He said you activated the covenant of faith, and the covenant of faith is relevant in the court of heaven. So when God saw faith in your heart, he gave you your healing. And here you are telling me to come and do some things to get from God. It's not the God of Jesus. Possibly it's the God of your village or the God of your idea, your IQ. That's why a lot of Christians are laboring in vain. They've labored in vain, no? You know, in that Galatians, bring it up, Galatians 5. Paul said, you ran well. But what happened? You started in the spirit. Quickly, bring it up. And that's one. Oh, we enjoy God. Glory to God. You see, all those days I was living in legalism, religion. I suffer though. That time, if you want to cast out demon, they say you have to fast and pray for many, many days. I wanted to do it one day. I like the way God used to disabuse some of your ideologies. Someone came to me one day, the person came to the house. That period too. He said, I can't deny the word of God. This thing is strong. Glory to God. So I had this bias. If I'm going to do deliverance, you give me like 2 days to fast and pray, wake up at night. I'll first of all do the pre-deliverance before I will do the main deliverance. So when the pastor brought the person to the house that evening, I was just like, okay, no problem. Okay, I want to give the person an appointment. Okay, 3 days time. You fast and pray for 3 days and then we'll do deliverance on the third day. But then I just said, okay, let's pray. God was faster than me. Glory to God. Just like he did to Peter when Peter was talking to Cornelius. You remember? Normally, Peter would have made altar call. But the Holy Spirit said, no need for altar call. The faith of these people is already pulling things down from heaven. And he gave them the Holy Ghost without Peter making altar call. Do you know what God's grace can do in a man's life? It's unmerited. It just comes, logically, on account of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. So God was too quick to set us free. So the moment I said, let us pray, the moment my hand landed on her head, she began to manifest. We did the deliverance that night. Within 15 minutes, the demon left. She saw the demon leave. We stopped the prayer. She was down there for like 10 minutes. When she got up, she said, I saw a man left my body now. That was the day our affliction ended. Today, she's doing well in life and ministry. So you won't tell me, say, now my fasting and prayer, Adwa. You have your Bible now. You have it. Check. Act of Apostles chapter 3. The beautiful, the man at the beautiful gate. Faith has brought Holy Ghost in chapter 2. The glory of God was in their life. So this time around, Peter came and was passing. But faith in his heart and the Holy Ghost in his spirit couldn't allow Peter pass. The man looked at Peter. Peter looked at the man, expecting harm. But Peter said, no, this time around, something has changed in the ties of the spirit. He said, right now, I don't have money to give to you. But what I have, I'm going to give you now. So in the name of Jesus, everybody said the covenant of faith. Because the covenant of faith says, I'm going to get what God has because Jesus is the one I'm in. That's a covenant of faith. It means God giving you what you need on account of what his son is to him. Not on account of who you be. Who you be. Even if you pay tithe from now to the 100 years of your life, you cannot command the blessing that God has for you. You can't pay for it. That's why in this kingdom, we give tithe as a gratitude. Not as a, some people say, as a point of contact. We don't do all those things. Bring your ATM card. Put your tithe card, your ATM card inside your tithe card and drop it on the altar. And cry to God and say, God, except I'm not a faithful tither. If I am a faithful tither, may nothing be tithe for me. Now, anytime you do that, you are bypassing the finished work of Christ. You are telling God, God, hear this prayer because I am faithful. And God cannot do anything for you because in real sense, you are faithless. The only faithful person that God knows in heaven and earth is Jesus. That's why whenever you pray, ramble on the ramble, blab on the blab. If you don't put in the name of Jesus, your prayer is dead. Everybody say the covenant of faith. Are you getting something tonight? Covenant of faith. Faith is powerful. It's very powerful. Don't do some deliverance. All day like this, demon just rush, change his face for you. The next thing you go, just remember the lie when you tell 3 days ago. But anytime I remember the lie I told 3 days ago, I remember Hebrews 4, verse 16. Say, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. You see, one of the understandings that God gave to me was that the moment you stand to operate in his stead, it's no longer you. It's him. Most of you think that the reason why the demon ran into the seven sons of Sceva was because they were sinners or something. No, it was not because they were sinners. It was because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in their life. They were just mimicking Paul and Silas. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, no demon can stand you. Not even Queen of the Coast. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This thing comes with understanding. It comes with understanding. If someone comes and meets you and tells you, my problem is headache, you have faith that the person can be healed, isn't it? But now the person comes and tells you that, in fact, it's witchcraft that's my problem. Now, because of lack of understanding, you think that witchcraft problem is bigger than headache problem. That's where we are missing it. But you forget that it is the same realm where the healing from the headache will come from. It's the same realm where the victory over witchcraft will come from. But your problem is that your mind has not been renewed. So to you, you have so much fear about witchcraft. You know, like some of you now, if I tell you that right there or right now, there are three demon possessed here that they came because of you. So let me give you the second one, faith. The first one was the woman with the issue of blood. I've given you one also, that Act 3, Peter and then the lame by the gate, beautiful. We have a lot of them. Another one was the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. The Syrophoenician woman. You remember there was a story where a woman came to Jesus, begging Jesus for healing. And Jesus told the woman that she was a dog and that it is not good to give what is meant for the children to the dog. And the woman responded and said, yes, we know it's not good to give what is meant for the children to the dog. But even the dogs, they still feed from what falls from the table. When Jesus heard it, everyone said the covenant of faith. The next thing Jesus screamed, he said, I've not seen this kind of faith. What was Jesus trying to say? Jesus tried to say that this woman already qualified herself for the healing. Everybody say faith. Everybody say faith. Say with me, I have faith. Say, I have faith. Say, I have faith. Now, faith has an object. Now, the faith of the Old Testament was based on the law. So when you keep the law, you have basis to ask God for something. Like that one did in the Pharisee. You remember, the Bible says a publican came and a Pharisee came. So the Pharisee said, I fast how many times? Seven times, Abby? No, I think two times or three times in a week. He said, I give my tithes, I give my offerings. I'm not like that one there. And that one there went to God and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner, have mercy on me. Jesus said, two of them, that man that said, have mercy on me, we go justified than that Pharisees. So what the Lord is trying to say to us is that it's not by works, lest any man should boast. But it is by what? By faith. So Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith. Is that okay? So what is that faith? Let me tell you the principle of that faith. Whatever God has, because I'm in Christ, I can ask and receive. That's the law of faith. Is that okay? Whatever it is. Now that's the confidence with which we minister to people. Now, we don't minister to people from the place of our righteousness. I mean, someone called me and told me that they've been in the hospital and then the baby is just there, not coming and all those things. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, children her heritage from God. So, and that's why whenever we pray, please be intentional to listen to some of the basis for which we make some declarations. Sometimes if I'm praying for some persons, I say on account of God's benevolence. Do you understand? So on account of God's credibility, make progress. Now what we are saying is this, even though you are not qualified, because God is faithful, make progress. That's why if you can be sincere to yourself, it's not everything in your life you can explain how you got them. It's not. If you can be sincere to yourself, you are not even worthy to get them. Are you getting me? You're not worthy. Let's be sincere with ourselves. There was a time, was it a prostitute or a drunkard or someone? There was someone I was having a conversation with. He said, okay, yes, a prostitute. She said something to me. She said, see, as I did, my life, now sure bank on God's grace. The things I don't do for this life, I'm not supposed to sleep, wake up. He said, you know, you're this pastor, now clean. He said, we dirty. But now grace, they keep us. And I remember scripture. Jesus said it. He said, sinners and prostitutes are coming into the kingdom ahead of you Pharisees. Now, why did he make that statement? Those sinners know very well that they should have died, but for grace. And let me tell you this. What saves men is grace. That's why they are saved. And yeah, you are here bragging about, what do you think you have? Ever say the covenant of faith. It's grace at work in your life. So that's why when there is a big problem in your life, let me tell you the simplest way to deal with big problems in your life. Listen, the simplest way to deal with big problems in your life, ask God for mercy and ask him for wisdom. These are the two things with which I get anything from God. That's just it. Don't be too intelligent for God. Because the Bible says he is bigger than your imaginations. Your brain cannot carry God. Are you following me? He can't carry it. How do you explain Rahab, a harlot, becoming one of the great, great, great grandmothers of Jesus? How do you explain that? A harlot, a prostitute. Jesus came from the lineage of a prostitute. And then you are bragging. Grace. Grace. So this is how it works. Whatever grace makes available, faith obtains it. Is that okay? So anything that God has freely given, don't try to give your way to get it. Is that okay? You know, when we come into giving, if you understand giving very well, when you give, giving is an act of faith. No, that's it. Giving is a response to faith in God. Because if I tell you now to give 10,000 to God, that 10,000 you could have used it for something. But because you trust God that's something God can take care of it, you now give. So giving is an act of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? And every act of faith gets God's blessing. So every time you give, now this is what God does. Two things. Number one, God uses what you have given as an opportunity to validate faith in your heart. And then two, he now gives you what? More. Because he knows that where that faith came to give the first time, when he puts the blessing in you, you will give again. So that's why giving is powerful. So that's why we don't give to God because we want to get from him. No, we give to God because we have faith in him. That's how it works. So that's why when you see some people say, I've been giving, nothing is happening, they are giving wrongly. Glory to God. Say with me, it's an act of faith. Say with me, it's an act of faith. So that's it. So that's why faithful people, they give more. Because they are not giving to get. They are giving as an expression of what? Of gratitude. So I want you to know something as I close tonight. that the covenant of faith hinges on what Jesus have done. So that's why sometimes when we want to take offerings, we say God gave first. Let me tell you one of the things the Lord taught me that time too. He said, if you have not received abundantly enough from me, you can't have faith to give. So he said, position to receive first. So some of you need to learn how to receive from God. That's a teaching for another day. Some of you, so do you know some people feel so unworthy when God gives them good things? I mean, sometimes, anyways, an act of humility though. But sometimes God delivers you from some accident, and when you remember it all just happens, you just start crying. Who I be? Who am I? Do you understand? And then thinking about it, who am I? Tears just drops. That tears is a sign of humility to God, that God, I don't deserve it. And let me tell you this, there is something about God. And that's why people that don't deserve things from God, it always appears they are the one that gets it more. It's a covenant. I wanted to change your mindset tonight. Some of you, you are too protocoled for God to bless. You have not learned to relate with God on the spine of his benevolence. I mean, go to God some days and tell him to bless you because he's God. Stop reminding him that you are a worker in church. Stop reminding him that you will do so much for him. You know, sometimes we go to God and say, God, if you can give me this job, I will serve you for the rest of your life. You see those people? No trust them. We know them. One ran to me one day in school, was crying. I mean, sickness was frustrating her life. Academics was so poor. So I begin to ask her a question. I said, at some point in life, did you make some vows? Vows, be careful with vows. You know, sometimes when we counsel people, we just, by God knowing, just ask them some direct questions. And she said, she just cry. He said, sir, to get admission was so difficult. I said, eh? He said, so I went to church one day and I told God, I said, God, if you will give me admission, when I come to campus, I will serve you for the rest of our life. And if you see her, she's among all the runs girls in class. I said, what now? He said, pastors, I don't know. The moment I just came to this camp, I don't know what just entered my head. God is faithful. Some people, by the vow they have even made, they are supposed to die. Am I correct? True. Let's be sincere with ourselves. Some of you listening to me, you know the vow you don't make. Even the one you made December 31st. But look at you, God is still blessing you. I mean, there are times God gives you job that you don't even apply for. But sometimes, you know, we humans, we are very calculative. You know, the kind of ministries maybe you came from, they've always told you to tie God's benevolence to something. So you're looking for where to tie it to. This job. Was it because I'm one of the FLC planning committee? I think it's that one. You now come and share testimony. That praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. God do me thing. He do me well. You know, when God said I should be part of FC community, I was disobedient. But guess what? 2 months after I fell sick, guess what? I now have a job. Glory to God. You see, sometimes we put our efforts on show and we put God behind. We think we are actually glorifying God. No, we are not. We are increasing religion. Come sometimes, the best testimonies are the testimonies that people cry. I don't even deserve it. But God just did it. God just did it. I remember I wanted to share testimony somewhere. I'll not mention the place. And all the pastor was asking me, that which covenant practice did you do? Oh, yeah, say it. Which covenant practice? I was looking at covenant practice. I know God did something for me. Some testimonies are prearranged to promote some things that increases labor. And most of us are there. Now we now make God look like a taskmaster. And then you are still the one that will come. And but God is blessing unbelievers. He will bless them more. Have you heard an unbeliever pray before? An unbeliever pray. Father, have mercy. Forgive me. Forgive. That's all it is they are saying. And then God will add to their blessing. They will still do bad. They will come say forgive. They are operating on a covenant. And then you come to church, you pray and pray and pray, but yet you are wanting God to do things for you because you are qualified. No. Apostle Paul said, the incredible wealth of his grace. Grace means unmerited favor. So listen to this. You want to get big things for God? Go down and tell him, say, God, I don't deserve it. I pray it every day. Two prayers, I don't stop praying. There are three actually. One, grace. Two, wisdom. Three, strength. Go look the sir. Look at the episode. You see, that's the prayer they always pray. Grace. The pressure becomes too much. The arrows are becoming too much. Go on the altar in your room and say, Lord, have mercy. He said, let us come boldly before the what? The throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Lord, have mercy. One of the most powerful prayers to pray is, Lord, have mercy. There is something in your heart, but you can't voice it. But you are saying mercy. And God sees your heart. And he sees it. Say, this woman, she needs a job. She needs a job. And then you get up from God, have mercy. The next thing you receive is an appointment letter. And you are wondering, how did it happen? God, have mercy. And then you are saying, Lord, I don't even know what to do. Lord, give me wisdom. And then you stand before your boss. You are just talking. You are wondering. I've written an exam that, between God and man, those are not write anything. Are rubbish, I write. You see this exam and practice panel. If truly want to be sincere with that panel, most of us that are Christians, now we even supposed to face them. Because some of the A's and B's we got them on the account of grace. We didn't write anything. How grace spoke, we don't know. I wrote an exam. I didn't write anything. I said, God, please, based on your mercy, this course, let me pass it. Result came, I got C. I take that. People, when they go class, they read, they get F. And you are telling me that grace is not existing. The Lord told me, while we're preparing for FSC, he said, grace in my kingdom is a principle. If people talk about the principle of giving, they talk about the principle of tithing, they talk about the principle of sowing, he said, teach them the principle of grace, because my grace is a principle. Once it is activated, there is nothing I cannot do. Listen to this. When you see a man of God that is graced, you will know that this one are grace. You can be able to do study and say, the reason why this is because he can speak English, because he's this, because his father is rich. Listen to this. After all said and done, you will bring 50 people that have those same criterias, but you will not see that measure of results in their life. Sometimes when you check your life and you check the beauty around you, rather than promote your background, promote the grace of God. It is a principle. Stand up on your feet. It is a principle. It is a principle. I have seen ugly women marry for 50, 30, 20, 10, 5 years. I have seen dull people graduate. And I have seen intelligent people drop out of school. You know, even the preacher said it in Ecclesiastes. He has seen things. Because at that time in his life, sir, the covenant of grace was not clear to him. The only thing he said, time and chance. But you and I know that time and chance is the covenant of grace. He said, I will have mercy. Can you just lift up your hands? It's grace. It's grace. It's grace, sister. Yes, we pray. Am I correct? We fast. We do the disciplines. But we know that it's grace. We will never promote our works. No, no. We will never. We will never. Because we have seen people that worked more than us. Have you x-rayed Jacob and Esau before? Esau was a committed man. Esau was a hard-working man. The day he came back hungry, he was just coming back from work. But God said, Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. Ow. Ow. The thing you cannot explain is the scandal of God's grace. When I heard that song by Hillsong, God's grace looks like a scandal. You can't explain it. Somebody called me and asked me a question. Why will God hate Esau? I said, I don't even have answer. I don't have answer. In case you don't know, some people did better than you. Look at your life. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Lift up your heads. Close your eyes. If you can shed tears, just shed tears. Just worship Him. Think about His grace. It's not by might. It's not by power. What did King Saul even do? David did more than that. David did more than that. But yet, God said, I will restore again the tabernacle of David. See, if there is any prayer I think you should pray, it's to pray that you find grace in the eyes of God. Because see, the king said, what shall be done to the man the king delights to honor? Accompanying honor is favor. When you find favor in a man's life, even your weakness will become strength in his eyes. No? God didn't go soft on sin. No? God didn't go soft on sin. No? 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 It's not because God started liking sin. No? No? It was because the sacrifice was greater. He was so pleased with Jesus that anything Jesus touched becomes favorable in His sight. It is by grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I have faith because grace makes it available. Take it, everybody, the right hand. And the hands of Jehovah. Listen.
I see grace.
Lift up your hands. Grace is the hand of God in your life. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ is the token. Christ is the bargaining chip. Christ is the exchange. Now I can enjoy all that God has. I can enjoy God. You see, most of you read the story of the prodigal son. And you talk about the vagabond nature of the son. But only few people will remember the benevolence of the father. Thank you, Lord. So I pray for you tonight. Whatever it is that grace has made available, take delivery of your portion. Take delivery of your portion. Because faith has been stirred up in your heart. Beginning from tonight, you begin to enjoy the mighty hand of God in your life. People will look at you and indeed they will say you are the man that God has helped. They cannot but acknowledge that there is abundance of grace in your life. Because whatever others were disqualified from, grace makes it available to you. So I pray for you tonight, you enjoy the hand of God. You enjoy the benevolence of God. The incredible wealth of His kindness, of His grace, partake of it. Partake of it. Partake of it. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said some of you are coming into your season of possibilities. Because one of the heritages of grace is that it makes you to attempt great things. Because now you are convinced that it is not according to your works, but according to the one that has been accepted, that is Christ. So now there will be space in your life to accommodate the great things that God will do. Now you will get to give God freedom to move in your life and do mighty things. There will be avalanche of supernatural possibilities. Take yours in the name of Jesus. Take yours in the name of Jesus. What your qualifications couldn't make do for you, grace will do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some of you, listen, your testimony will be, I didn't even know anybody, but God did it. I didn't even know what to do, but somehow, the man just saw me and just favored me. When grace comes upon a man's life, man begins to do good to that man. So go forward in life and enjoy goodwill. I said enjoy goodwill. Every student here, you begin to enjoy favor before your lecturers. Your lecturers, they will just begin to show you kindness. Stop thinking it's because you are beautiful. Stop thinking it's because you are intelligent. Stop thinking because you have stature. Begin to rely on the grace of God. Now go and enjoy goodwill before men in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord shine His light over you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can the excited family rejoice? Have you been blessed tonight? Can you rejoice? Glory to God. KDC, get ready. We have come into our season of unstoppable increase. I said unstoppable increase. You have much more. Come into your realm of much more. You are blessed. Say, I am blessed. Glory to God. Amen.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.